From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil reporting. U.S. Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis spoke of the attacks on and deaths of four American soldiers in Niger earlier this month at the hands of Islamic jihadists.
The loss of our troops is under investigation. We in the Department of Defense like to know what we're talking about before we talk. And so we do not have all the accurate information yet. We will release it as rapidly as we get it. Because we are very proud of our troops. As you know, we investigate any time we have our troops killed, whether it be in training accidents or combat. I don't care if it's in a car accident in DOD. We investigate the circumstances surrounding and see how we can address the very questions you brought up about what can we do in the future.
The Islamic State militants ambushed U.S. and Nigerian forces during an October 4th firefight that also killed four of the Niger security personnel. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is taking part in the inaugural Coordination Council, the first meeting between the governments of Saudi Arabia and Iraq and Riyadh. This meeting is seen as part of U.S. efforts to reduce Iran's increasing influence in Iraq by encouraging Baghdad to align more closely with Riyadh. Iraqi Kurdistan's two main political families and their supporters traded accusations of blame Wednesday for the Iraqi army's easy takeover this week of the city of Kirkuk and other disputed areas in northern Iraq, which the Kurds seized from the Islamic State terror group 3 years ago. The family members of the late former Iraqi President Jalal Talabani, who dominate the leftist PUK, are being accused of having cooperated with the Iraqi army and Shiite militias. This is VOA News. Two top U.S. officials, CIA Director Mike Pompeo and the U.S. National Security Advisor Jean H.R. McMaster, say that North Korea is likely just months away from being capable of striking the United States with a nuclear missile. But Australia's Foreign Minister Julie Bishop is responding to a letter sent from North Korea to Australia's Parliament by calling it an unprecedented communication.
This is a response to the pressure that Australia, United States, China, Japan, South Korea and others are putting on North Korea so that it will refrain from its current conduct of provocative and threatening behavior and that it will be compelled back to the negotiating table. I see it as a positive sign.
In the letter, North Korea warned it is a nuclear power and will not be cowed by U.S. President Donald Trump's threats to destroy it, according to the copy of a letter published in an Australian newspaper Friday. Former U.S. President George W. Bush on Thursday deplored the country's political divisiveness.
At times, it can seem like the forces pulling us apart are stronger than the forces binding us together.
Mr. Bush, the country's 43rd president, a Republican who served two terms in office from 2009, I should say from 2001 to 2009, never mentioned President Trump by name in the New York speech, but his message seemed aimed at his frequent Twitter taunts against political rivals, his attempts to curb immigration to the U.S., and abandonment of international trade deals. At a separate event in Richmond, Virginia, approximately 100 miles south of Washington, D.C., President Trump's predecessor, Barack Obama, spoke during a campaign rally of coming together.
Whether we can recapture that spirit, whether we support and embrace somebody who wants to bring people together.
And since leaving office, Bush has only infrequently made public policy statements, largely staying quiet about Washington political debates during the White House tenure of his successor, former President Barack Obama. With U.S. midterm elections barely a year away, lawmakers Thursday unveiled a bipartisan proposal to regulate online political advertising in the United States, an effort prompted by revelations that Russian elements spent large sums on internet ads targeting Americans ahead of the U.S. 2016 election. A new study in the medical journal Lancet said pollution, both outdoor and indoor, killed about 9 million people in 2015, or about one out of every six deaths, making it the world's number one killer. The study said the overwhelming majority of pollution-related deaths come in developing countries, where the authors say leaders are more concerned about building their economies and infrastructure than environmental regulations. I'm Tommy McNeil in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.